All right, Mr. Bartsch and Mr. Rittenour.
Okay, again, I'm Mr. Rittenour, or Coach Ritt, Mr. Ritt. I'm a Director of Athletics and Student Activities. As you can see from the next three slides, we have a lot of opportunity athletically here at Conval, and then Mr. Bartsch is gonna address our club activities as well. Some things to think about, you know, involvement in extracurricular activities is a very, very important component of a high school student's overall experience. And as I mentioned, you know, we compete competitively in Division II of the NHIAA in the fall, winter, and spring. And Mr. Cottrell can go through those slides and show you what our other offerings are. And I would suggest that your student get involved athletically in some capacity. If your student doesn't feel strongly about competition, but loves sports, there's always opportunities available as team managers, in video production for our games, as an athletic training intern. And also you can be part of a very positive, supportive member of Conval Nation. When we do get back to normal, we're gonna wanna have spectators and fans who are out there supporting our teams. And I look forward to the day that that can happen for all of us again. So welcome to Conval. And if you have any questions, please send them to me by email, because I'm gonna have to head downstairs because I do have a basketball game going on right now. I'm looking forward to meeting every one of you. I know a lot of you already. And I can't wait to welcome the class of 2025 to Conval. Have a good night, everyone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Conval High School. My name, as I said before, is Steve Bartsch, and I am the Dean of Students. And this is my 29th year at Conval. Between Mr. Morris, myself, and Mr. Rittenour, we've got quite a bit of years, I think. And I think if we throw Carol Young in there, we might finally hit the Century Club. So it's pretty exciting. I've been a science teacher at Conval. I've coached four different sports. I've been a class advisor, coached Envirothon, and for the last 15 years, been an administrator. With my current role as Dean of Students, people often assume I'm just a discipline guy. I feel my job's a whole lot more than that. My job's to help students be successful. This may include working with staff and students to help them be successful in whatever's blocking that. It may involve peer mediation when students are having conflict, and also helping students find the right resources when they are in need. One of the best ways to help students be successful at Conval is to feel connected, and along with athletics, our clubs and activities can help this happen. As you can see, we have over 20 different clubs and activities for our students. Some of these activities are competition-based, such as Ocean Bowl and Envirothon, where students are competing against other schools. But some of our clubs and activities are simply allowing students to follow their passions, like our art club and some of our music activities, our drama and world language clubs. And some of our clubs promote student leadership, such as student council and youth and government. Whatever your students' interests are, get involved and welcome to Conval High School.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, families and students. I'm excited to be able to tell you about some of the opportunities that we have at the Region 14 Applied Technology Center. Students who attend Conval High School are very lucky, in as much as our high school is the primary home to the Region 14 Applied Technology Center. So your students will have the opportunity to attend career and technical education classes. A lot of folks associate career and technical education with what we used to know as shop, but I want to share with you why CTE is so much more than that. All of our students are going to have careers as adults. There are many different ways that students are going to get there. Some of them will graduate from high school and then move on to college. Some of them will take a gap year and then go to college. Some of them might join the military or go directly into the workforce. But regardless, everyone at some point in their lives is going to have a career. through CTE, we introduce students to all the different career options that we have available to them through our programs. And we have 11 here at the Region 14 Applied Tech Center, as well as work-based learning opportunities such as internships and ELOs. We teach students those what are sometimes referred to as hard skills, so the content-based skills. For example, we teach in engineering how to use different software such as SolidScapes to go through the process of designing a piece and then actually creating it. And we also teach those very important soft skills, which if you were to talk to local industry are some of the most desirable skills to have. Those are the things like being able to collaborate, being able to be timely, knowing how to communicate effectively for the time and the space that you're in. So those are all different pieces of that puzzle that you'll see there on the right of your screen that are part of a CTE program. Next, please, Mr. Hutra. So these are the programs that we offer here at the Region 14 Applied Technology Center. You'll see there are two programs on the screen, Automotive Technician and then Construction Trades, that are offered at our satellite schools. At Massenic, we have the automotive program, and I'm very excited to share with you that we recently received a grant to build one of only 4 electric cars in the state. So students are going to be able to build those cars from the ground up, and we're going to incorporate not just the automotive program in that, but we're also going to be working with, as you can see, the computer networking and programming pieces so that they can do the programming of the car to have it run, as well as many of our other programs, including, for example, graphic design, which we're hoping we'll be able to design a skin for the car, because this will be a roadworthy vehicle. Another important piece that I want to mention is that while we have these 11 programs here in the state, I recognize, and everybody else at our school recognizes, that students might not be interested in solely these careers. So I do want to direct you to that link over on the right-hand side that shows you all of the different CTE programs that are available in the state. And if you find that you and your student are particularly interested in something that we don't offer here, I'd be happy to talk with you and your family about those possibilities. So the other great piece to mention about career and technical education is the excellent relationships that we have with post-secondary. So we have, as you can see here, over 51 college credits that are transcripted through the community college system of New Hampshire. That means that once a student completes that Running Start course, he or she will actually get a transcript from National Community College or from Manchester Community College showing that the student completed this class and they have earned 3 or 4 credits. We have had many students graduate with a semester worth of classes, so 12 to 15, and some students actually have graduated with a full year of college under their belt before they even exit high school. We also have what are called articulated credits through Keene State College, Southern New Hampshire University, and Mount Washington Community College, which means that those credits are valid at those particular institutions. Just having taken one class that has that college credit will allow a student to be able to list on his or her resume that they have college experience. And that's something that may very well put them ahead of the line as far as job applicants. Other pieces that will put them ahead of the line are the opportunities to earn industry certifications, such as OSHA 10, Cisco, which is related to the computer networking and programming, first aid and CPR, and SolidWorks. One of the things that I think is the very best part of CTE is that opportunity to explore the different career paths and to work with folks in the field before making a commitment, as one might do when you're at the college level and you're dedicating finances towards that piece. The children get an opportunity to explore and try out different things as part of their experience here at the high school level. So I wanted to share with you, these are some photographs of some of our students in different programs. You can see we've got 3 different ones on this slide, and you'll be able to see through many of these photographs that the students are actually working with industry certified equipment. You can see the firefighters there. The students are actually working on putting out a fire. Our firefighting students will actually go out into the field as well and work with wildland fires. Those pre-engineering students are completing the Dyson Challenge to build a chair that allows a human to sit on it. Just made out of cardboard. We also still have our LNA program, which is not formally a CTE program, but is something that falls under our house, as well as graphic design and our manufacturing program. One of the pieces that folks are very excited about right now is the welding component that is part of our manufacturing program. And we have quite a full list for that. And some of you, if you have students who are also rising sophomores, may have seen this postcard come to your house recently in the mail. But this is what I want both families and individual students to consider is, where do you see yourself in the future? Think about these things that we're listing here on the card. If these are things that you want for yourself or for your student, I would strongly encourage you to consider CTE. I look forward to answering questions later. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Kiley. I just wanted to jump in with one quick thing. Some of the pictures that were shown tonight with many of the students close together without their masks on were pictures taken prior to this year. So I just wanted to give that disclaimer. Thank you.
Great. So that's a good segue into just kind of talking about the transition to high school and the course selection process, which we have begun today in earnest with the rising ninth grade students. And we shared with them that while we know that their middle school teachers would like to hang on to them a little while longer, we now are considering them rising ninth graders and an active part of our Conval community, Conval High School community, as they're starting the course selection process. So today we met at Great Brooks School virtually with the students, and tomorrow morning we will be meeting with students virtually at South Meadow School, going over the opportunity, the course selection process and opportunities that are available for students. And then, so as far as the process from their perspective, we've asked them to go forward, review the course selection information at home with their parents and guardians, and then complete a course selection sheet that they would want to have with them. And their school counselor at the middle school is going to be setting up appointments and reaching out to students to talk with them, to review their course selections and finalize them by helping them input them into the PowerSchool together when they meet. For any families who are here that are from a homeschool background or are coming from an independent school and know that their student will be attending at Conval next year, we're gonna offer something similar on the morning of March 5th virtually for students. But the first step is really to reach out to our registrar, Stacy Whitaker, and start the registration process, because we need to have all of the registration pieces set up and in on file before we're able to have that conversation about selecting courses for next year. And then ultimately, we're hoping to make tentative schedules available to students in June. So that's kind of the bird's eye view of the process. But of course, I'm going to back up a little bit and give you a little bit more information to help you support your student in making some of those decisions. So right here, want to talk a little bit about some of the course selection resources that are available. And then I'm going to go off-roading from the slideshow in a second here to actually show you around some of those resources. So we have set up a course selection resources landing page. I have the link available here, but if you navigate to the high school website, there's two ways that you could get to it. If you find yourself at this high school's school counseling page, on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll notice that one of the tabs is course selection resources. So you can find it there. But if you end up on the high school's main page, you can just hover over the school counseling link and there'll be a drop-down menu and course selection resources will be one of those choices there. And I'm gonna draw your attention to three specific things that are gonna be helpful in supporting your student making their course requests for next year. Those three things are the program of studies, the virtual elective fair, and the course selection sheet. So I'm gonna try off-roading here and see what happens. Are you, Are you able to see the website? All right, we're a go. So like I said, you can hover over school counseling. That will bring you to course selection resources. And so if you're unfamiliar, the program of studies is really the kind of roadmap to high school, right? It has all of the important information academically that students and families are gonna need to know about Conval High School and how to navigate through it. I referenced on a next slide, the graduation requirements are on one of my slides. You can find those on page 4 of the program of studies. You can also find information about every course that we offer at the high school. And in the course descriptions, you'll also find if there is a prerequisite to a course. So for instance, the theater arts workshop, as an example, has a prerequisite of introduction to theater arts. So those are going to be important things to be aware of as you're looking at courses with your student. A good place to start in terms of just kind of wrapping your head and their head around the opportunities that are available would be the course selection sheet for rising ninth graders. And that's really going to lay out kind of what the required courses, the core courses are, and then where there's some room for choice, right? So all students coming in are going to take an English course. For the most part, all students are going to take a health or PE health and PE course. There is, if a student is going to take band or choir, we have options that alternate with band or choir so that students could work those into their schedule as well. All students will take Eastern World Heritage as their social studies course in ninth grade. And then depending on where students are in the math sequence in eighth grade will depend where they come in at Conval High School with regards to math. All students really at the ninth grade level for the most part are taking math both semesters. We do have a requirement that students do have to take math all each semester until they've completed the Algebra 1 requirement so that students can remain in contact with their math skills until they meet that very important graduation requirement of completing Algebra 1. And then of course, science is required science course for incoming ninth graders. So from there, students generally have two elective courses. So electives, we like to say, are courses that at the middle school level, they might call them specials, but they're either courses that don't fall into these buckets, or they're courses that may be in one of these buckets, but they're above and beyond what's required. So if you scroll down on this page, you would get a sense of at the ninth grade level, what's available as far as elective courses for students. And then as students move up to 10th grade, this list grows exponentially. There's many, many, many options available to students. And then finally, students have to choose 3 alternate courses. Now these are backup choices for their elective courses, just in case those courses are full or are not gonna work in their schedule for whatever reason, or if the course is unable to be offered for some reason. We wanna know what the students are interested in to schedule them for backup choices. So that way there, we are not just taking a guess, and unfortunately, we're not mind readers. So it's great to get some feedback on that. So that way there, we're not having to, work with a lot of schedule changes come the fall. And then finally, I mentioned the virtual elective fair. So if you're looking at those options in the program of studies and really feeling like, wow, I wish there was something that was going to bring this light to life a little bit for me or my student a little bit more, the virtual elective fair kind of does just that. So we have a number of short videos that were put together by the instructors of the various courses. Now, we don't have 100% of the elective courses represented here, but we do have a good sampling. So it's a great place to look to see if there's, just a little bit more detailed information about a course from the instructor that teaches it. So those are really, the big resources I would direct parents to as they're supporting their students through the course selection process. And then of course the school counselors at the middle school are a great resource. And then we're certainly here to help at the high school too, if any questions arise. I'd mentioned the graduation requirements, and I'm not gonna go into tremendous depth. I showed you where to find them on page 4 of the program of studies, but I will, I'll point out a couple things. The core subject areas, generally speaking, it's a good idea to be thinking about taking those all 4 years of high school, particularly if a student is thinking about applying to a four-year college or university. Another thing to just kind of be mindful of is that, the minimum graduation requirements aren't necessarily always what colleges might be looking for. So for instance, you'll notice we don't have a world language graduation requirement here at Convale High School, but many four-year colleges and universities might be looking or are typically looking for 2 or more years in the same world language as a minimum admission requirement. So that's just something that, we can talk a lot more about as students progress through high school, but there's plenty of room to work those, work those requirements in as well. As far as Convale's schedule, just wanna kind of give a sample of just a sense of what it looks like. So we're on a block schedule here at Convale High School, and students will take 4 courses each semester, and then they'll have a new set of courses the following semester generally. And in the middle of the day, we have something called TASC, which is short for Teachers and Academic Support Centers. And now this year, COVID looks a little different, but kind of we're all planning for going to back to something a little more resembling normal for next school year. And we would plan to have TASC looking a lot closer to what it looked like in a typical year than what it looks like this year. And so typically students would have homeroom advisory on Monday in TASC, and then they would have the remaining TASC sessions that week. They would have the opportunity to get extra help with in a course or sign up for enrichment opportunities, or sometimes if a course has honors options, there might be an honors component that students would have to attend during the task block if they're in an honors course. So that's generally kind of how the schedule works. And so here's a sample of what a student's schedule might look like in ninth grade. So you can see semester 1, they're taking English, math, 2D art, and then physical science, right? And so the 2D art was an elective choice for the student to, that would meet the student's graduation requirements in art. And then of course they could build on art in the subsequent semesters if they wanted to. And just as sample second semester, this student has their social studies, health and wellness, the second part of Algebra 1, and then Spanish 1. So the mileage and results may vary for a number of students in terms of what their interests are, but just kind of wanted to give a sample of what it might look like. So as far as transition activities that we have planned, right now, as we've mentioned, we're in the course selection process. Typically later in the school year, we would have some additional kind of transition activities available for eighth grade students. We're still kind of in, this, COVID environment, and we need to be safe about moving between buildings and things like that. So we're still working on creative ideas to help support the transition through this spring. And one thing that was done last year was some drop-in sessions with the middle school that the high school counselors did. So we're looking to continue that this year, as well as we have a new student day in the fall that typically takes place the day before the first day of school for students. And again, what that looks like is evolving because of the nature of COVID-19, but we are definitely planning some activities to help students feel comfortable moving up to the high school, get a sense of the surroundings, understand the environment a little bit before they enter the building day one of classes. For students that are on, that have a 504 accommodation plan, we do planned transition meetings, and we'll be planning to have those in May and or June this spring. So if that applies to your student, you can be on the lookout. The high school will be coordinating those transition meetings. And then I'll let my colleague, Ms. Riley, speak a little bit about the IEP transition process. But similarly, families could expect if their student was on an IEP that there would be a transition meeting held before the end of the school year regarding that student. Ms. Riley, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Sure. So I actually met with all of the middle school case managers today with Amelia, who is the middle school coordinator, and talked about this transition piece. We know how difficult it is for kids to move from eighth grade to high school. And so we want to make this as smooth as possible, obviously. So we spent quite some time talking about IEPs and how they look and the reflection of that with the high school and how the high school runs. And we also discussed maybe not trying to get them, cram them in all at the very end and start working on some of those possibilities sooner than May if we need to. I think that will also kind of ease some of the anxiety around what's going to happen when I get to the high school and what kinds of services do I have at the high school as far as my IEP and what teachers can do. So we'll probably begin those sooner than May, and your case managers at the middle school will start reaching out and talking about this possibility and what this looks like. The other piece of that transition meeting involves the transition coordinator, who is in charge of, once your student gets to the high school, the IEP is driven by the goals that your son or daughter have for post-high school. And so our big goal for freshmen from our point is to help them with their self-advocacy skills and make them confident young adults. And so we want to start that as early as ninth grade so that they can begin to really be able to own their education and own this process and feel better about where we are. So we'll talk a lot about that too in the spring when we begin to meet early May and late, whenever we can get started. So that's kind of what that looks like. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me and just send me an email or reach out to your middle school case manager and they can give me a call as well.
Great. Thanks, Ms. Riley. So, you know, kind of just last want to just help folks match the face to some names as we're starting those course selection meetings with students today and tomorrow. This is our team of counselors that are working with students to share that information. And then of course the middle school counselors are helping out quite a bit with that. But if there are any questions, you can certainly reach out to us. I'd say that Stacey Whitaker and myself are probably a good starting point if there are questions related to the transition, or certainly the middle school counselors are pretty well versed as well. So please use us as a resource. And then we're going to give some room for questions here, but again, keep in mind that we do have a panel up next. So you should have the access to the second link that we provided in order to be able to access that panel. We'll have a very brief intermission, actually, because I'm going to have to jump off of this meeting to start that second Zoom webinar in order to get that rolling. And it's the panel contains a cross-section of Conval teaching faculty, and we have some students represented on that panel as well. So, and it's going to be a question and answer driven format. If you're unfamiliar with the webinar format, you can type in questions and you can actually upvote the questions too. So if someone types in a question and you're really curious about that, you can kind of upvote that to make sure that we definitely get to it. It's a fairly good sized panel, but we want to hear questions that people have. We may not get to all of them, but just know that we have that opportunity available. And then I will stop there and leave some space here if people have questions for us. I'm going to stop.